Hi, welcome to Things in Jars, a podcast about oddities, curiosities, and all the weird and wonderful stuff that dwells in museum stores. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Poppy, and we're both curators, here to take you behind the scenes of the museum with us as we explore cool artifacts and answer your questions about what it's really like to work in a museum.
This week's episode, we wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about job applications for positions in the heritage sector. And the reason why we wanted to do this is because we know a lot of you that listen and follow us are in your early careers or would like to start your career in the heritage world. And Poppy and I both have a fair bit of experience in looking at job application forms and conducting interviews for positions in a sort of traineeship early career level. So we wanted to share with you some of our top tips for your application form and hopefully give you a bit of a insight into what we are looking for.
Of course, every interview panel is different and each interviewer has different things that they like and don't like in applications. So it is impossible sometimes to please everyone, but hopefully you can take something useful out of what we have seen in our own experience, and also what we found through writing heritage job applications ourselves.
Yeah, very good point. As well as being the reviewers, we've also been the ones writing these applications, and we have a bit of an idea of what works or what has worked for us and what hasn't.
And then this week's item spotlight is Melissa's pick. So she's going to be talking about...
I'm going to be talking about Charles Dickens' pet raven called Grip.
Oh, cute. Can't wait.
Before we get into the rest of the episode, we'd just like to clarify that opinions expressed in this show are our own, and Things in Jars is not affiliated with the museum in which we work, although we will be referring a lot to its wonderful collection. Okay, so you might be considering submitting a job application to a heritage institution, to a museum or organisation. You've got the job description in front of you. You've got your application form. What are you going to put? What is going to make your application shine and stand out from the
hundreds,
many, many others? Yeah, the hundreds of others, because heritage jobs are very competitive. I'm sure a lot of you know that already. So we're going to help you stand out. So what's something that can, in your opinion, Poppy, help a job application really stand out?
Even though we've said that there are hundreds of people applying for each position, do not be disheartened. I know it's so easy to be dissuaded from applying because you think that a job is going to be really popular and you don't stand a chance. But honestly, it's the little things for me that make applications shine. I think we should say firstly, don't ever avoid applying just because you think you won't get it. I so nearly didn't apply for the traineeship because I thought I was a bit of a joke candidate and that I wouldn't get an interview because I just didn't think I met the criteria. But you are not the one judging your own application. If you're interested and you would like to work there, just have a go. You've got nothing to lose. The worst that can happen is you might get an interview, you might get interview experience, you might update your CV, you have a better idea of what you want. It's all good experience. So if you see a job, especially if you're a woman, I heard somewhere that women, if they don't meet one of the criteria, won't apply, whereas if men only meet one of the criteria, they'll still apply. So don't fall into that trap. Just have a go. You don't know how great you are until you've applied.
Yes, I 100% agree with that. And there's always a lot of discussion around person specifications and essential and desirable features and training that places are looking for. And I think they're a good guide as to whether you're suited for a role, but I wouldn't say that you have to tick every single thing on that list to be able to apply.
There are things in a role that can be taught, and you might be a great fit in ways that you don't even know you're a great fit. Like, your personality might mesh really well with the kind of organization you want to work for. You might have the same values. You might have other skills that you didn't really know were important, but the interviewer kind of has in the back of their mind as being kind of appropriate for the role. And there is so much training that can be done on the job if you're not quite where you need to be. So that's for the employer to decide. Don't you decide that you're not a good fit.
I think what I would do with that is, if you don't meet some sort of essential or desirable quality, don't just ignore it. Recognize it, but show that you're willing to get to that point, whatever it is.
But if you can show that you've got equivalent experience, acknowledge that you don't have it. This might not work in all cases, because there might be some essential criteria that you do just have to have, and in that case at least you tried. But
yeah, that's the thing. It's not like some places haven't really considered this carefully when they put together their job spec, and they're obviously looking for certain things. So yeah, it might not work every time, but it shouldn't stop you from having a go. So be bold, be brave and be bold. That's our first tip. You go for it. It doesn't matter if inside you're shriveling away thinking, oh no, I couldn't possibly do that, because chances are you probably could. So
yes,
have a go. One of my very top tips is something that I think is so, so important for any job application anywhere. And that is, please, please, please refer to the place that you are applying to. So don't submit a generic application. And I know that it's difficult when you're applying here, there and everywhere, and you might have perfected your text and you're kind of just slotting it in because you're losing the will to live. But please just make a little bit of effort to just acknowledge where you are applying to and what they are about, because that goes such a long way. For example, for me as an application reader, if I'm going through and I can see someone is genuinely taking the time to just learn a little bit about where they're applying to work and telling me why they would want to work there. You know, you don't have to know everything. I don't have to hear the organization's history and the whole catalogue of the collection, but I just want to know that you've kind of taken a little bit of time to consider it and what might really interest you about the role or what might excite you about the role. And when you're doing it, just take care to refer to the correct place, because we get a lot of misspellings and, you know, just the incorrect name or stuff like that. So just take care that you get it right, and that, you know, it's even just like a sentence or two, just really small, but it does make a big difference. When I see that in an application, I'm always like, aha, yes.
Good.
They've taken some time. Yeah, it's a good start when people do that.
I agree with that, definitely. And I would say a light touch on that is definitely better, as you were saying.
Yes.
You don't need to tell them about their organisation. That can sometimes put interviewers' backs up when they're kind of, they feel like you're preaching to the choir. So
yeah,
just a sentence or two that shows that you're interested in what they do.
Yeah. If they've got anything really major going on, like they've got a big redevelopment project, or they're, you know, pushing something relevant on their social media, they've got a program or event or something, just something like that. If you mention it and say why that intrigues you, or why you'd like to be a part of the organization that's creating these programs or opportunities, that just that sort of thing, it just goes such a long way.
And the same goes for mentioning the role that you're applying for. When I was reading through applications for our latest traineeship position, it was amazing how many people did not mention curatorial or collections within the first two pages of their application.
Yeah.
Like, they were applying for a collections trainee position and they do not mention curator, collections, working with objects for until pages and pages in. You need to be concise from the start. This is what I'm applying for. I know that this is where I'm applying and this is why it would be great. Don't waffle on and then throw in collections as kind of an afterthought.
No, absolutely not. And you need to be so specific about the job description, because we want to see that you understand what you're applying for and what we are going to be asking you to do. It might feel a little bit odd to be like, well, I have experience in cataloguing collections, so I can therefore help you catalogue your collections. I mean, don't put it like that. That was a very crude way of saying it. But just making it really clear that you have experience, that you are applying to specific elements of the job role, is so helpful to us when we're going through the applications and we see you've understood, you're referring to the job. We're like, yep, tick, tick, tick. That sounds good. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's just one of those other things that makes your application easy for us to digest and read and makes you look better as a result.
Yeah. You can imagine us going through with a highlighter, and every time you quote the job description, we'll highlight that sentence. We want to see that application covered in highlighter, not just the odd line. And give an example. If you say you can work in a team Everyone says that. No one doesn't think they can work in a team. No one doesn't think they can't work well on their own as well. We need to see examples of times when you've done these things. So quote the job spec and back it up. Back it up.
And I also, as an extension of that, like to see how that experience applies to the job we're asking you to do. So, and this is actually helpful as well if, say, you've going back to what we were saying before about a job spec and maybe not necessarily having experience in everything. If you say we're asking for cataloguing experience and you haven't necessarily catalogued for a museum before, but tell us how you've, carefully arranged your own big book collection because you like to have your stuff organised. Talk about that, because that's the sort of stuff we're looking for. We're looking for that meticulous, careful, logical approach to caring for vast numbers of objects. You know, just stuff like that. Be creative in how you can apply your experience if you don't have the exact kind of experience that we're talking about.
Definitely.
That's definitely more relevant for like traineeship positions or early careers. Obviously, when you get a little bit further down the line in your career, if they're asking for, specific experience, they would expect you to have that. But just starting out, that's the sort of thing that if I saw that, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's it. That's great.
That's great. Yeah, definitely. I would say as well, another of my big tips is sometimes on applications as well, you have to throw in something that you're proud of or a project that you've owned and taken responsibility for. Try and find an example that is not relevant to your degree if you've done a degree. It's always good when people think outside the box. Most of the people applying will have degrees, either in English, history, museum studies. That is a common denominator across all applications. So be creative. When you have to talk about a project that you've enjoyed, maybe think of something in your personal life or time management. Have you had a part-time job or have you done something really niche that has required you to time manage? Because everyone kind of says that they've juggled their studies and their recreation when they're a student. That to me doesn't stand out particularly well. But yeah, if you can try and think of experiences from either previous jobs, volunteering, work experience, anything outside of your studies, that works really well. Even a placement, if you're a museum student and you've done placements, they can be really good examples.
When I had to answer that question once in an interview, the first thing that popped into my head was I had really recently completed a difficult walk in the Lake District. I mean, it was difficult for me, probably not for the hardened fell walkers of the area, but it was like a sort of scramble where you had to go up this fairly, challenging terrain to get to the top of the mountain. And I talked about that because I was like, well, I pushed myself out of my comfort zone. It was a challenge for me, but I kept going. I really enjoyed it, felt really proud of the achievement. And that, yeah, for the interviewers, was a good answer because it was kind of outside of the box. It showed that I was willing to challenge myself. So it's things like that, things that you might not necessarily think, but it's also stuff that shows a bit more of your personality and your interests and what you like. And
personality is really important in job applications. It's so, people forget, but you need to convey a sense of who you are to the interviewer. We don't want to see robots that are all identical. These are people we could be working with in the immediate future. So we want to get a sense of who you are, what you enjoy, why you want to work with us. Can we work with you? Are you going to be a good fit for us? So
yeah,
conveying as much of your personality as you can, as is appropriate, not just don't go crazy, don't tell us your life story. But, we want to know what makes you different from all the other candidates. And that is generally where people are successful, when they convey a sense of being really human.
Yes.
So yeah, achievements like that. I think in an interview once I mentioned that I'd done Camp America and that had been really scary for me. It had really pushed me outside my comfort zone to travel by myself and to kind of go into the unexpected, and I'd never done anything like it before. So that, again, that conveyed a bit more of my experience that I hadn't mentioned on my CV, and it hopefully just kind of brought me to life a bit as a candidate rather than someone who had just another number of people who'd done an English degree and wanted to work in a museum.
And also it shows that you're a well-rounded person, doesn't it? That you have had life experience and, all of the things that everyone looks for in jobs. We're looking for people who are sociable and approachable and good communicators and people that can get along with other people. all of these things are all desirable qualities, whether it says it on a job application or not. So if you can display that, and I know it's much harder to do that in written form, but when you're writing your application, obviously, you've got to take care of your spelling and your grammar and you've got to write properly, but don't be afraid to throw in the odd little bit of your personality in there, and don't be afraid to let your passion come through. Like, if you love museums or you love something about the museum that you're applying to work in, you say so. You tell them that you're so passionate about it. And be sincere in the language that you use.
So the next point is about being concise in applications, because if the person reading it has to spend a considerable amount of time trying to pick through your sentences to work out what you're actually trying to say, you're probably not going to get very far in the application process. There is so much to be said for just stating really plainly who you are, why you want the job, why you think your skills match the criteria. But as a side note, I would avoid saying that you would be a perfect fit for their team or anything like that, because yeah, that kind of always gets interviewers' backs up. It's on them to decide whether you would be a good fit. Just be really clear. You don't have to write any kind of thesis. You're not writing a Shakespearean play. There's really no need to be using all of this super elevated language. I've read quite a lot of applications that really do read like someone has swallowed a thesaurus for every single word. Just tell us why you want the job.
It does make our job so much easier as well, doesn't it? When we have like a nicely laid out text in front of us that is easy to follow. You know, your paragraphs have got your start, your middle, your end. You're making your points clearly and quickly. It just helps us navigate through your application and see that yeah, you are delivering on what we're asking for. It's just better. It's just smoother. It's just something that you can do that will really help out the reviewer of the application form and make them like your application a bit more, to be honest. I mean, it just
definitely
does. It yeah, just does.
If your application gives us a headache, we're probably not going to persevere with it. So,
well, yeah, think of it. Put yourself in the reader's shoes, or even imagine if it was you. If someone gave you something super long to read and you had 50 other similar things to read, how would you feel about that? Really take some time to kind of look at your application from a different perspective and see how it might come across.
Yeah, just state your points really, really clearly. Leave absolutely no doubt in that interviewer's mind what you're trying to say, because that will get you far. And I think an important point to kind of attach onto that is writing from the heart. All of the applications that I selected to go through to the interview process were ones that I had a really good sense of who was behind them. I could really imagine a person sitting down writing because they wanted this job, and I really got that sense of why they wanted it and what their motivations were and what kind of level of experience they were at. Like, I just sensed the person behind the words. And you can only really do that when you're writing clearly and stating, you know, this is who I am, this is why I want the job. If you're trying to make it sound super impressive with a lot of really fancy words in there, fancy words are great, by the way. If you can use fancy words well, and if fancy words are necessary, by all means, stick those fancy words in. But it can suddenly just sound so ridiculous if you're trying to use words that aren't you. If you wouldn't say it to your family or in conversation when you're talking about why you want the job, don't use them in your application. Just imagine that you're literally telling us why you want the job and you'll be fine.
Yeah, truly. It's you know, if you would love the opportunity to work, then say you would love it. Don't say you would relish it. Don't say you would adore the chance to, anything like that. It just doesn't sound
genuine.
No, it yeah, doesn't. And even if your strength of feeling feels that way, which it might, but you know, ultimately what you're saying is that you would love to work with us. And using fancy words and things like that isn't necessarily going to set you apart, or it might set you apart, but not for the reasons you might hope.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. So, right from the heart, and don't feel like you have to be someone you're not in terms of like your experience either. If you don't have a lot of experience and you're keen to learn, just tell us. Like, that's, there may be some jobs where that tactic doesn't always work, but with first step sort of traineeship jobs, I guess I can only really speak for what we've seen, but with us that always goes down a treat. You know, don't be too worried about saying like, oh, I haven't seen that done before and I would really like to learn more about this particular area. That's great. You're a human. There are things that all of us haven't done in our careers. And learning is thankfully something in the museum sector that we're always doing. So we want to give you that if we can. And then the final thing, I guess I would say, is be mindful of how you send in your application, because this is going to be the first thing people see of you, and it really does count. It's always a good idea to include text in the body of the email. Don't just send in your application as an attachment and don't bother to put anything else on that page, because it does look a bit odd. Equally, if you know who you're applying to, use their name or, you know, customize that application to suit them. I saw more than I would like to this last year that were addressed to Dear Sirs, and that is just terrible. Why would you put sirs when you have all of the information to tell you that there are no sirs here? So yeah, that's just sexism.
There's
that's
not a single rude. Sir involved.
Not one sir. So yeah, I can't believe that happened in the 21st century, no less. And I think the worst thing was it was a woman who was writing into us. So yeah, don't ever use sirs unless you're applying to a man. If you're not sure, you can put to whom it may concern, or even just a good morning is fine. All of that is good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely just put a little bit of time and effort into the tiny details like that. So yeah, if you're sending in an email, you don't need to you know, write paragraphs in the body, but just a hello, dear, to whom it may concern, not sirs.
Yeah.
Please find attached my application. Hope you're having a nice day. Best wishes. Blah, blah,
yeah.
Blah. That's all it needs to be, but it just adds a little bit of extra politeness to it.
Yes. No harm in doing that. And in terms of like just making sure the whole package is complete, make sure you're filling in every part of your form as well. So if they ask for references, they'll usually tell you whether or not they'll contact referees before or after interview, or at what stage in the process. It might not even be until you're offered the job, if you're offered the job. But if you just don't put anything in the reference box, then it is telling in a way. As in, there might not be any nefarious reason why you haven't done it, but we don't know that. All we see is that you've not included any details, and that maybe raises a red flag. If it was between you and another candidate, you probably wouldn't be making the shortlist, because we wouldn't, you know, you haven't followed the instructions, you didn't give referees.
I was just going to say, I think for those little details, things like spelling, things like word count, things like providing the information that we ask for, they are really important, because if you are on a par with other applications and we're trying to make a choice, if you have done all of those things and another application has an error, then that's maybe all we're going to have to go on. So just always bear that in mind. You know, the odd spelling mistake here and there, if your application is truly great in other regards, it's not going to always stop you from going through, but it can be the one deciding factor that we have to go on. So just remember that. Do a good proofread. I always really get to that point where if I've been obsessing over a job application or something, I can't see it anymore. Like, I am blind to its flaws. So that's where it's really helpful to have someone else read it over for you, because they will pick up or print it out and read it on a bit of paper rather than on a screen. That is always much better for me in terms of picking up little errors, or reading it aloud as well. Read it aloud to yourself, because then you can hear what sounds good and what sounds a bit weird. Like, if you've got a sentence that goes on and on and on and on and it's a paragraph, then you'll be able to put a little full stop in there and make it a bit clearer. So to summarise, there are a lot of things there that we would encourage you to do. So be yourself, be honest, use normal human language, show us why you're interested, show us how you meet the job spec, be sincere, just be yourself. And I know it's really difficult to do that. And I know that, you know, there's no magic answer to job applications. But I think if you do those things, that'll get you a long, long way. Just be yourself, do what is being asked of you, refer to that job description, hit those points, make sure we know that you know about what you're applying to, where you're applying to, and what job you're applying to do. And you'll do it. You'll get there. You'll get there eventually. And like Poppy said right at the start, it can be so very disheartening, but you've really got to keep going. If you take anything away from this, please keep going. And ask for feedback as well. You know, it's perfectly all right to ask for feedback. You might not be able to get feedback always from places, because if they've received a lot of applications, the organisations might not be able to individually go through. But it's always worth asking. If you're unsuccessful this time, just take a bit of time to look back through your application and think, well, you know, where could I have made this a little better, a little more polished? Would I change anything? It's just a matter of keeping going, keeping positive, and you will get there. As always, if you've, you know, you want to know anything else about what Poppy and I think on this, or you have any questions or want us to talk a bit more about this sort of stuff, we'd be very happy to do it. We want to support you and we want to help you out, as well as talking about fun, cool, weird objects. We really want to help you in your own careers. So we are here for you.
So it's time. It's time now for the item spotlight of the week.
So I'm going to introduce you to Charles Dickens' pet raven, who was called Grip. And Charles Dickens, the very famous author of many a splendid tale, was by all accounts very fond of Grip. And apparently he would read to his children at night with the bird on his shoulder. But Grip was quite the character and apparently was quite raucous and quite aggressive sometimes. And apparently he had this habit of tearing sections of painted surfaces. And there's this one story about him drinking paint from an open tin. Perhaps due to that fact, Grip did sadly die. But when he died, Dickens had the bird taxidermied and placed in a very elaborate case. However, Grip and his lively character would also live forever in Dickens' novel, Barnaby Rudge. Dickens also had one of his favourite illustrators create a portrait of Grip, and he took this portrait with him to America in 1842. And during that visit, he met the poet Edgar Allan Poe. And so Dickens and Poe became friends, and Poe went on to write a review of Barnaby Rudge, where he described Grip in the novel as intensely amusing. And he also wrote in a review for Graham's magazine that, amongst other things, the raven should have served a more symbolic and prophetic purpose. And therefore, it is widely believed that Grip was the inspiration for Poe's 1845 poem, The Raven, which is known all over the world. Following Dickens' death in 1870, the taxidermied Grip was sold at auction and purchased by the American collector, Colonel Richard Gimble, and it can be seen today in the Free Library in Philadelphia. So that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and we really, really hope that you found this useful and that you think it might be helpful to you when you're considering applying for a job in the future. And for next week's episode,
we are looking at literary collections, but literary was very broad, so we ended up narrowing it down to children's literary collections, as in items that relate to some of our favourite childhood stories.
In the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram at Things in Jars Podcast and on Twitter at Things in Jars Pod. If you're enjoying this podcast, please leave us a rating or a review. It really helps us to grow our platform and reach new people, and we really appreciate it. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Poppy.
Thank you very much for listening.
And we'll see you next week.